May God's grace, His peace, His abundant mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Lord. Amen. Our text is the Gospel from Mark 1, Jesus' teaching in the synagogue. Let us pray. Lord, your word is strong. It is powerful. Your word is a lamp for our feet. It's a light for our path. It is the double-edged sword to penetrate. May it be with us this day. Help us to hear your word, to receive it in faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When a basketball player jumps up real high and they dunk the basketball really hard, the announcer might say that he dunked that ball with authority. When a judge in a courtroom slams down his gavel and says, "You're guilty, you're going to jail for the next 25 years, one might say the judge gave his verdict with authority. A parent disciplines his child, a rebellious child, and sends them to their room with no supper, you might say the parent disciplined with authority. Jesus today in the Gospel, Mark 1, is teaching in the synagogue. Not merely teaching. He is teaching with authority. And that little phrase is mentioned twice in this gospel, a short little gospel, just 7-8 verses, and yet twice he teaches with authority. What does that really mean? I want to say three things about the authority of Jesus' teaching today. Three things. First of all, when Mark says that Jesus taught with authority, understand this, he is referring to Jesus' style. He's not referring to the style of Jesus' teaching. He's probably not saying that Jesus taught with a loud voice, or that he taught with conviction, sincerity, with good eye contact, with good gestures and body language, with charisma. That's not what Mark's referring to, the charisma of Jesus, the conviction of Jesus. Not really what he's talking about. If you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels, they tell us a lot about the teaching of Jesus, and rightly so. And yet, rarely or maybe never, they tell us about how he taught, his style, whether he was loud or soft, whether he was fast or slow, whether he had really good eye contact and looked at his audience, or whether he read something. We're not really told that. Conviction, whether he was boisterous or kind of humble in his teaching, we're not told that. Why not? Because it doesn't matter. That's why it's not told to us. The Lord, when he comes, is not very interested in style, in appearance or image. It's not his concern. I mean, he's born in a manger, folks, in swaddling clothes. No style of that. He's raised in Nazareth, a carpenter's son, hangs around fishermen, tax collectors, prostitutes. Not much image in that or style, not very flashy. He dies on a cross, murdered. That's not very stylish. And now he comes today, not in a flashy way. He comes in a simple way of his word taught, bread and wine, water of baptism. Nothing flashy, no great style here, no great image here to impress somebody. Just simple means. I think this is important to note because we live in a world where we are greatly impressed by style and image. It dominates America. Style, image. You know, millions of people today will watch the Super Bowl. Why are they going to watch the Super Bowl? Who's going to watch the Super Bowl for the game? If you're an Arizona fan or a Pittsburgh fan, maybe you will. But a lot of us will watch why? For the commercials. And why the commercials? For the product? You want to learn about some new product? No. You want to see the style of the commercials. Are they funny? Are they creative? Are they innovative? Do they have a good punchline? You want to see the style of the commercials. We're impressed by that. One of my favorite commercials of the last couple of years is the caveman commercial. You know, we have the caveman and he's being ridiculed or mocked by somebody. And I like that because you usually don't see goofy cavemen on the TV. Like, I like that. But I had to think for a moment, what's that commercial really trying to sell? You know? Geico Insurance. What insurance had to do with a caveman, I have no idea, but that's what they're trying to sell. This is where style overshadows and dominates the substance. That can happen in the world. It must never happen in the church. Don't come for any style, any image, anything flashy. You're not going to get it. You never do. Come for the humble word of God. Come for the absolution spoken. Come for the bread and wine, the body and blood of the Lord. Come for Jesus, the substance, and be forgiven of your sins, and go home rejoicing in Jesus. Authority doesn't lie in his style. What's it lie in then? He teaches with authority. Second point here, when Mark says he teaches with authority, he refers, first of all, he's referring to the source of Jesus' teaching. Where Jesus gets his words from. Where does he get his teaching from? Mark means to say to us that Jesus taught as if he were teaching the very words of God. He taught as if all of heaven was behind him. He taught as if he were God himself. Authority, power. This is God himself, the very words of God Almighty. All of heaven is here backing his words. That's the authority of Jesus. He teaches as if he is God himself because he is God himself. This is how this fits into Epiphany. Epiphany means to reveal. And even in his teaching in a humble synagogue, Jesus reveals his divinity, his deity. He is God. And it shows even in his words, the very words of God. Jesus himself is his own source because he's God. You see, back in that day, when you went to the synagogue, the scribes or the teachers would teach, and most often they would just quote other scribes and other Pharisees and other teachers of the past. There's lots of quotes of what somebody else said. No real authority. It'd be very boring. It's like Pastor Roberts, like when we gave a sermon, we just read commentaries. Well, this commentary says this, and this commentary says this, and this guy says this, and this person says this. All right, there's your sermon. Now, there's a point where you can do a little bit of that, because there have been wonderful people of the past that know things. But it gets kind of boring. Do you have an idea yourself? Can you think through the text a little bit? You have the Holy Spirit too. Jesus, when he teaches, does not quote anybody. He doesn't quote that scribe in the past, that Pharisee in the past. He doesn't quote anybody. He just preaches the word of God. The kingdom of God has come. Repent and believe the good news. He himself is his own source because he is God. And therefore, to be very practical, this means that whatever Jesus says is true. It's reliable. Because he is God. And therefore, he speaks the very words of God. You can trust it. You can rely on it. It's true. You know that Lynn Holloway and I have a little basketball rivalry going, don't we? And we're going to play a game sometime. And I'm going to tell you something that you may be amazed by, and I don't know whether you believe it or not. He shot an air ball this week. He's a great high school ball player. He was a great college ball player. But this week, he shot an air ball in Central High School's gymnasium. All right, his son plays. My son plays. We were there in the gymnasium Tuesday night. He shot an air ball. How many of you believe me? I'm your source. My wife has her hand up. How many of you believe me? Now, you may not believe me because I'm not a real reliable source, because I'm his rival, and you know I like to tease and fib a little bit now and then exaggerate a little bit. Now, we'll ask Lynn himself. Raise your hand, Lynn Holloway, if you shot an air ball at Central High School, and we'll believe it. Do you believe it now? Now, a little detail, minor detail, he was shooting from half court, so we'll leave that out. Sources. What's your source of truth? The source you can rely on. When it comes to God, you're going to rely on some scribe, some Pharisee, some teacher of the law that's quoting other scribes, maybe? Or would you rely on Jesus, who is God himself, talking about himself? I think I'd rely on Jesus. He himself is God. You can trust his word. It's reliable, trustworthy. Count on it. He says you're forgiven today, you're forgiven. He says you have eternal life, you have eternal life. Believe it. He says that he loves you. He loves you whether you're sick or well, whether you have a job or not. He loves you. Believe it. It's his word. It's authoritative. It's all of heaven is behind that word, for he is God. He says he is the way, the truth, the life. Believe it. He says he will work all things for your good. Believe it. He will do it. Trust it. It's reliable. The source of his teaching is his authority. And then last of all, his authority relies in the substance of his teaching. Not his style, but in his source himself and in his substance, his content. What is Jesus teaching in that synagogue? What's his content? We're not told. But we know it's in contrast to the scribes. What did the scribes and teachers of the law teach in the synagogue all the time on the Sabbath? And if not that, every day probably. Law or gospel from the scribes? They taught a lot of law. Law, 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 law. Do, do, do. Try, try, try. And a lot of the details of the law that don't matter in the end. I mean, for example, we're supposed to obey the Sabbath, rest on the Sabbath. So they would teach about, can one brush his teeth on the Sabbath? Or is that work you're doing? Talk about tedious and boring. I brushed my teeth on the Sabbath? Come on. Another example. You're supposed to offer a lamb without spot or blemish as a sacrifice. Well, just how big does the spot or blemish need to be a spot or blemish? What if it's really, really small? Is that still a spot or a blemish, or can I just disregard that? How big must it be to be a spot or blemish? Talk about boring, tedious, or washing of hands. They always had to wash their hands to eat food or do anything. Just how much do I have to wash my hands for them to be really washed? Boring, law, law, law. And just brings guilt and guilt and guilt on people who can't obey the law. And so Jesus now has a new teaching, which really isn't new. It's been there since the beginning. But does Jesus teach the law or does he teach the gospel? He teaches both, but primarily the gospel, for he is the gospel. He comes to the synagogue and talks about the love of God, the love of God, the love of God. Not just laws, but love. He doesn't say try, try, and try. He says trust, trust, trust the Messiah. Trust the one who will save you and redeem you, who is Jesus himself. He talks about himself. We're not told what the topic of his sermon is this day because we should know the topic. It's Jesus. He's the topic. His life, his death, his resurrection, forgiveness in his name, salvation in his name. It's all about him. He takes over the synagogue service. It's all about him, the gospel. And that is his authority. That's his power, the power of forgiveness and salvation. Authority is the Greek word exousia, which literally means power coming out. He spoke as if power was coming out of his mouth. And it was the power of forgiveness and salvation and faith and mercy all coming out of his mouth. The gospel. And we have here a great illustration of the power of the gospel. The gospel draws sinners and it drives away the devil. It's right here. What sinner is drawn to the synagogue in the text? A man with an evil spirit. Now, why in the world is a man with an evil spirit in the synagogue? The last place in the world the evil spirit would want to be is in a synagogue with Jesus there, the Son of God. Why is he there? I suggest he's not there of his own will. He's there because the word of Jesus has drawn this poor man. And not even a demon can prevent it. The word of the gospel, come sinner. You're forgiven. Isn't that what draws us? You're here not just because of family or friends. I hope that you're here for bigger reasons than that. You're here for the forgiveness of sins. It draws us who are greedy and lustful and proud and arrogant, and we fight and bigger and gossip. We're drawn by the mercy of Jesus. His word draws the sinner. Here the man who's possessed by an evil spirit. And then the word of God has the power to drive out that demon. Jesus simply says, be silent, come out of him. Just words. He doesn't fast and pray. Just speaks a word. Be silent, come out of him. And those very words drive the demon away. The power of the gospel, the power of the word of God, illustrated right here. We all want you to come every Sunday, but there's somebody we don't want to come. And that's the devil, the demons. And they're not here because of the word of God drives them away. My favorite Bible verse is fitting. Romans 1:16. Do you know it? Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the what? I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the what? The power of God for the salvation of all who believe. First the Jew, then the Gentile. Say the first part of that with me. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe. Jesus teaches with authority. What's it mean? It means he teaches as God himself, and he teaches the gospel. May we come often to this house of worship and go home amazed at the word of Jesus. Amen. Please rise for the creed.